Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's time for Hour Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Tagovailoa. Not
Tua Tagovailoa.
A forever Dolphins quarterback.
Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua.
Tua.
Tua, Tua, Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Can go to hell. Tua Tagovailoa. Dolphins quarterback.
Daddy loves you guys.
Hour Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Check the history of
Hour Two of the program, ladies and gentlemen. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Let's get to our headlines here, brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia miles in inventory at the Sportage, Sorrento, and Telluride. And remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia. The Marlins, they lost to the Diamondbacks yesterday, 10-4. So the Fish dropped to 8-8 on the season. Game two of the series tonight, Max Meyer, who's had a great start to the season. Mm-hmm. He is on the hill for the Fish tonight. 6:40 is your first pitch. Miami Heat, they're back on the hardwood tonight for a play-in game against the Chicago Bulls. Tip-off is set for 7:30 from the United Center. Both Nikola Jovic and Pelle Larsson questionable for this game. And that is good news. Haven't had Pella. Didn't have him in the last Bulls game. Definitely hurt Miami. And Nico, we haven't had since damn near February. God, I miss him. Oh, I miss him so much. I love watching him play basketball. Legitimately one of the more fun players on the team. Not only because he's a delight, but you just think 21 years old and just the growth that he's had. Tremendous. And you know what we get back tonight, Leroy, if he plays?
What?
It's all time.
Oh, all yeah. Time. Yes, sir.
Pretty exciting. Pretty exciting. That is
that. You know what? I would like to just get a run of maybe 5 or 6 games of everybody being active participants so you can at least get an idea of what's possible. It hasn't happened. Soon as everybody's within 5 minutes of a game, somebody gets hurt.
Literally.
Or somebody's sitting out.
That literally happened.
Right.
And that literally happened. Pella Larson.
I just want everybody to be act. Now, I will say this, and I've said this before. I sometimes think that when Spo has his whole arsenal, he struggles sometimes with the rotations. When he's shorthanded, he's at his best.
If I had to guess, if those guys are available tonight, I think the guy who probably suffers on the most minutes is going to be Haywood. That would be my guess. If Nico can actually go tonight.
Yeah, it depends on how he is on the other end, though.
If he has like a shot going, but I think...
If he has a shot going, but on the defensive end, because...
Hasn't worked against the Bulls before, though.
Right, I know. The two guys that you literally have to... First of all, I got to have a talk with my young big and Kaleo. Say, hey, Kaleo, that's enough of this. Okay? Vucevic on the second chances, the layups, that's enough of that. Okay? It's your job. That's your job.
Your ass kicked by Vucevic on the glass.
Tonight. Right. And then I would go with my perimeter defense because I can't. Dude, if Giddy goes off again tonight, I'm going to lose it.
He's been on
triple
fire.
Triple Giddy double.
I know.
He's been on fire. He's had two triple doubles. He's had a 28-point and a 26-point triple double against the Heat. You know, he's lit them up. He has lit their ass up. But I do think that, you know, the thing that I like about Nico is some of these guys, when the game gets fast, it's almost like a fish out of water. Nico's not like that, you know? Right. And so I'm not expecting him to play big minutes, although he says his conditioning is good, and it's a little bit weird because it's a hand injury. So,
the conditioning should be fine.
Yeah. So the only thing you worry about is rust with his teammates of game speed, but it's not like he should have any restrictions. If he can play.
The thing I like about when Nico or you have Pella or you have, you know, Bam is all those bigs can bring the ball up the court. So how do they defend Nico with the ball in his hands at the point? Right. And so there's a lot of flexibility in how you can go about trying to figure out what they're trying to do. Now, my fear is when they do something like that, the Bulls just drop and try to run some kind of zone. And then that means your three-point shooting got to be, you know, on point. So I would like to see how that plays out. I don't want this game to be about who shoots the three better. Right? I want it to be about good defense, running, getting the ball up and down the court. Defending.
Well, and also, but, like, let's remember the last time we had the old steel and brick heard around the world. You know, so if a layup's there, T, just take those 2 points, huh?
You call him T. We know who you talk about.
Just saying.
Well, after evaluating that situation and thinking of it this way. If you make the three, it gives you more options on the other end. Right?
I'm not hearing this again.
But if you make the two, you still at some point gonna have to make a three.
It's still a one possession game.
I got you, but here's the deal. Think about this. If you make the three and then you foul and they miss one, now you need three to tie.
You didn't need to foul.
All you had to do was play defense and get a stop. Foul.
That's like, again,
right?
There are times where I'm cool with the three. I would have been cool with him taking the three for the lead.
Right.
Not there.
Not down five.
Makes no sense. Made no sense. Still doesn't make any sense. Don't do it again, Tyler. He's going to do
right.
it again.
All right. That was my thinking. That was my thinking on it. Like the two, with them having the ball, still put you in a tough spot.
The Heat, they will play the Hawks if they win tonight. The Hawks got killed by the Magic, 120-95. Trae Young stormed off. The Warriors hold off the Grizzlies, 121-116. Jimmy Buckets, 38 points. Steph Curry, 37. They went off. Jimmy Butler said after the game, "I think any team that has I think any team has a chance with me on it, but I know every team has a chance with Steph on it. Now I get to play Robin. That's my Batman."
See, now.
So now the truth is coming out. He didn't want to be Batman.
It's not that he didn't want to be Batman. No. This is where not getting Dame. That was the moment yesterday. This was what Jimmy was talking about. Having a sidekick, somebody alongside with him, that if he goes for 30 and the other guy goes for 30, it should be enough for them to win instead of him going, having to do everything and be a super Jimmy. That's what he was talking about, because that's why he wanted Dame. Like, what Curry did yesterday was exactly, I mean, that's what Steph does, but it's similar to what Dame would do as well. So that's what he wanted Dame. This was this was when he made that mention.
The whole Jimmy era ended when Damian Lillard went to the Bucks and Drew Holiday went to the Celtics. That was it. That was like it was basically like the Heat were on a ventilator. I've been watching too much of the Pit. But it's basically like the Heat were on a ventilator, but they haven't called the death yet. Like that's basically what it was. The Jimmy Butler era ended the day Damian Lillard went to the Bucks. But also, yeah, I guess he's come a long way since his sidekick, Cody Zeller, when he referred to him as Robin. So you got that. The Heat now know, but officially now, the news of that, the Heat officially have a first-round pick this year. The Heat officially now have a first-round pick this year. I believe it's either 18, 19, or 20, I think, is the spots it could be at. Oh, wow. So there you go. That is the one piece of news that comes out of yesterday. The Heat officially got an asset yesterday.
When was the last time the Heat had a single-digit draft pick?
A single-digit draft pick?
Was it Beasley?
Yes, I would think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Winslow was like 12.
Winslow was 10.
Yeah, 10. Winslow was 10.
Yeah, that's the last time. The last time they were inside the top 10 was Bees, 2008. Never had the number one pick.
Also, but I will say this.
That means you've been a good team, a good franchise. Yes. Yeah.
I would say this. Every person that gets drafted by the Heat has an extended career in basketball. Those guys may not be playing here, but they are still playing basketball. Is Winslow still playing?
Not anymore. He's playing, I think, for like the G League herd. Really? He had a lot of injuries. I would say, yeah, he's probably one of the cases that goes against what you're saying. Precious is still going.
Yeah.
Precious is still going. Precious would have been, I think Precious would have worked out here too. They had to, you know, throw somebody in for Lowry.
Love Precious,
to get him.
Man. We love Precious.
I'm a fan of Precious. I liked Precious. I just think that, I think the Heat, and I think Spo, he's really hard on his bigs because he expects everybody to be Bam Adebayo. Like, he expects everybody to just play balls to the wall and no defense immediately. And it's like, hey, man, it's like expecting everybody who picks up a violin to be Mozart. Is that what he plays?
Especially when you have to understand that when you were a big in the 90s, you were expected to play a certain way. And now there's a lot of bigs now that play all over the floor, shoot the three, handle the ball. So they just have different skill sets. You don't have a true, you know, like guy that just keeps his foot in the paint. And keep in mind, that's how Bam started. And we always felt then that wasn't the best use of Bam's skill set.
Well, speaking of draft, a man who spoke to the media was supposed to be about the draft.
Hold up. Time out.
Yep.
Toba tried selling us on KZ Akpala being baby Giannis.
Oh, I really did. I really did. Dude, they would talk about no. But here's the thing. They would talk about KZ Akpala. These vet, they lied to me. They said in these workouts, oh, KZ Akpala. He was a second round pick, though, in fairness.
I'm just saying. Like, it's so much.
That's fair. I can't hide from that.
And wait, we still are just amazed that Remember how we got on Beast? Why the hell are you asking about Kendrick Nunn?
But he was undrafted. He was not a, to your point of drafted guys, he was not a Heat drafted guy.
Yeah.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings.
Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't.
Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirectTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
And when I say that, I'm not talking about second rounders. I'm only talking about first rounders.
When we come back, Chris Greer.
Oh, boy, we needed to block some time for this.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
He said things. That's next.
It's our number two with Tobin and Leroy.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Leroy, can we get a weather update from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm? YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7. Call them at 866-954-MORE.
I'm looking out here now. The winds look like they're coming out of the east. Not very strong, maybe 5-10 miles an hour. It is partly to mostly cloudy. It's cloudy. I can see the blue sky, but no sun. And it seems to be a pleasant day, but it'll be a little warmer today. It's probably like 80, 82 degrees right now.
There you go. How do you do, Vlad?
Well, mind you, he is in Davie, so it is
so a little breezier.
And it might be a little warmer. It is 79 in Miami, so if he's saying it's 80-82 in Davie, he's right, and the wind is 10 miles.
There you go. One man who's dealing with some storm right now is Chris Greer. Ooh. Yesterday,
we needed to block off some time for this one. I know, because
he had some doozies yesterday, dude. He had some doozies. But like, you know, and look, to his credit, he spoke for a long time. He did basically touch on everything, maybe too much. He comes out of the gate and he basically says, "Yep, Jalen Ramsey and the Dolphins' time is coming to an end. We've discussed it. He hasn't demanded a trade, but we're looking to move him." And so you had that like just right in your lab. We knew that throughout the day from whether it was Slick Rick or Ian Rapoport, we knew the Jalen Ramsey Dolphins thing, but he didn't even deny it. He's just like, "Yep, we're moving on," but he wouldn't say exactly why.
Mm-hmm.
So we had that. We had him discussing the Tyreek Hill scenario, and he says, you know, he's not trading Tyreek Hill unless, you know, two first round picks.
Here, let me explain something to you. There's a fine line between not doing something and can't do something. Okay?
Yep.
The value of Tyreek Hill is greater on your team than what you would get trading him. Therefore, you keep him. As simple as that. And he threw something out there just to give people an idea of where negotiations would start if you want him. Knowing that you're probably not going to get any calls because, well, the last two summers.
Pretty much.
And so that is a weird thing that you make comments on issues that aren't issues. Right? All know you can't really trade Tyreek unless you give him up for peanuts.
Yeah, pretty much. Which is I think why you put up the bold for two first round picks, we would talk. You know, just all right. But this was him on his dealing with the hot seat, and he said that him and Mike want to win more than anybody. This was what Chris Greer had to say on that.
Listen, Mike and I want to win probably more than you guys in here just to get you guys off our backs, you know. But at the end of the day, like I said, it's the NFL. Like, to me, the crazy thing is when you hear some of the really good head coaches in this league that have won all the time and people are calling for them to get fired after a season, like, it's just the nature of the beast. The NFL is, you know, one of the most popular leagues in the world, and you understand that. And so at the end of the day, you have to just work and try to drown out the noise.
if I may. I have been a defender of all things Dolphins. I have defended the amount of money that the owner has invested in the organization from day one. Tobin, you know this. I have said to fans when they were calling Stephen Ross a clown, I'm like, be careful. This guy's willing to do whatever it takes to win. That's a good starting point. It is. But I'm not going to sit here and have somebody just gloss over the mistakes that they've made to make comments like this when everybody knows everybody wants to win. Your job is depending on it. So that goes without being said. The issues that we all have are the decisions that have been made. Now, guess what? We're looking at Chris Greer, and Chris Greer has done in the last 4 or 5 years the same exact things that Mike Tannenbaum would do. Go get the big name contract player. Go pay a lot of money. Give up all them damn draft picks. And all these guys got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's also one of these things too, where it's like it's such a stupid throwaway to be like, you know, I always laugh when people want good coaches fired. It's like, are you comparing yourself to Mike Tomlin?
Right.
Is that what we're doing here? You comparing yourself to Belichick? Like, what does that have to do with anything? It's almost like, you know, I always say when people say we don't pay teachers enough, I agree. It's like, okay, what does that have to do with anything?
Right. That's what I feel these past comments were. These past comments, I think, were comments having nothing to do with the issues that needed to be talked about.
This was him on leadership. A lot of people thought this clip stood out. He said that even despite the loss of Armstead and Calais Campbell and probably Jalen Ramsey, he believes the Dolphins have enough leaders, even with the loss of those guys. Here was Chris Greer on their leadership.
We do. And some of the players we added are quality human beings and people that have been leaders at other teams. But I do think in-house, when you have guys like Zach Sealer, just to name a few, like, I mean, you can say
you
Kyrie,
name one.
Waddle, Alec Ingold, Austin Jackson, the offensive line guys love, you know, those guys, they lead differently. You know, they're quiet guys and how they do it by example and stuff. So we feel comfortable. They know the expectations, you know, as we talked about at the post-draft press conference. Mike addressed that and what he told the team. And so Mike and leaders on the team have been meeting all throughout the offseason talking about things. So very excited for where it's going, and they know the expectations. And so looking forward to see how this group responds.
Hold on. Let me tell you why we're going to give him a minus one here.
Oh my God!
A minus one? That boy was full capping.
Yeah, woo! I know. But in the
wait, can we just?
I'm trying to use the stuff we use in the show, so I don't cuss.
But
first of all, there's one name that you should never mention when you talk about team leaders, and that's Tyreek Hill,
especially this year.
Especially this year when he walked off the field. Okay? Like, that could be revisited. But as of right now, he cannot be a leader on your team. He can't.
What is the bigger gaffe here? Is it saying Zach Sealer, following it with just to name a few? Is it then saying the next name that you were scrambling for, Tyreek Hill? Or is it never saying your quarterback?
See, right. I was thinking that. Wow, you hit the trifecta right there. That was a hat trick because,
like, dude, that was a hat trick answer of like, what are you doing, dude?
You don't mention Tua at all. You mentioned Tyreek and Waddle.
Waddle barely talked.
Lead what? Like, the only time I've ever heard Waddle talk was when he said, "Reek, you leaving?" That's not a leader to me.
He literally just named, like, he's just like, those are Dolphins. Those are Dolphins. But, like, my favorite part is you're so caught up in the air with no timeouts when you go, Zach Sealer?
No, he caught himself. He caught himself.
Like, he goes, I ran out of names. Oh, no. Because he probably was going to, like, go to Calais Campbell, even though he's not a Dolphin. He's like, say a Dolphin. Tyreek Hill!
He was gonna,
no! You know,
and here's what I would say to people, right? And I hate this in sports. I hate when teams do this. I hate when coaches do this. I hate when the media does this. Your star player isn't always your leader. Stop treating him as such. Okay? Your best player may not be a leader. Stop treating him as such. We always want to go to the guy that's having the most production and deem him the team leader. And that's not the case. And it's okay. You know, the best player doesn't have to be your leader.
But you don't have that safety valve, like, right off the top. Like, even Leroy, just for upkeep, right? You know, this guy's got, what, two press conferences a year, right? You know, like, their leadership thing's going to be a thing. You get prepped by this. You have a media department. you know, hey, these are the things you could be asked. When you get asked about leadership, easy, dude. We got Tua. Unless Tua is that bad of a leader that they would never think of him.
And you know what I would say about that is, I believe that those guys on that team appreciate Tua. Not necessarily for the things that we may think of Tua, but when you look at what Tua has fought through and how he has grown, other players respect that to see how he's come out the other end. And so he can lend a voice to a lot of these situations going on because of that, because of his own personal, you know, start to his career. And so guys see that. Guys know who the leaders are. You don't have to tell people who the leaders are on that team. Like, guess what? Calais Campbell was there 2 seconds. Guess what they said? Leader.
Yeah.
Right? You don't need somebody to put a C on your jersey or need them guys in the locker room know who the leaders are.
Of course. But like, you can't say the second guy, even if you guys are trying to stroke Tyreek Hill's ego, because that's what Tyreek Hill needs to be in a good mood.
Right.
Come on, dude. What are we doing?
But that's that. I just think. Here's the other thing. There was nothing good that was going to come out of Chris Greer talking. Absolutely nothing. Because of how everybody feels going into this presser.
I agree with you to some sense that you're just at a point where you're in a no-win situation just because things are bad.
But it's your own
doing. But I do think you can come out of these things with a push. And somehow,
was there anything that he could have said that would have?
You could say things that are worse,
huh?
You could say things that are worse. You can.
Sometimes in these situations, when you go out of your way to, like, say, my situation is just the cost of doing business, or that is just that way, people are going to hate you regardless, right? And just totally overlooking why and not identifying as far as why, I think that pisses people off more. So in however long he sat in front of the media, we didn't hear one comment about decisions that were made as far as the team is concerned.
You think
it was all things to try to defend his position in the organization, or, you know, to try and get people to understand that he wants to win too. I don't care. We know if you don't want to win, your ass gonna get fired. I want to know what you gonna do to win. What are you gonna do this year to make the team better? We never had any of these conversations. So instead of being all defensive, if he would have said, look, we got to move on from this, okay? Because nobody cares about last year. Nobody cares what has happened. People want to be successful this year. That's what we need to concentrate on, and we need to do everything for this organization to win. I would appreciate that. But it's almost like he's trying to backhand justify what he's done to this point. No. Nobody cares.
He's trying to justify Leroy because he knows he doesn't want his
nobody cares.
His ass is on the foreman. He doesn't want to get flame broiled and fired. So therefore, he's throwing Mike McDaniel under the bus.
Oh, dude, he's
when you say like, I'm sorry, guys. I've never heard a general manager say I defer. What? You defer what? You're the general manager. That's right. What you're here for. You're not deferring. The only person you defer to is Boss Ross. So unless you're throwing, and you're not definitely not throwing Boss Ross under the bus, you can't. You're going to have to throw him under a Rolls Royce. But nonetheless, it's still, you're throwing Mike McDaniel under the bus when you basically in that press conference yesterday.
This is the thing too, Vlad. It's like, you understand when you've had a job in a place for 20 years, right? And he's been in charge of this thing now almost 10 of the draft, right? it's such a it, like you need to find when you find ways to keep your job, which listen, props to staying employed. But you put a good point in the chat where you say he's a game manager. That's what he is. Like, I don't feel like because he's always going to come out. If you stay around long enough, you'll always be able to reset and get assets. And then you'll take a big swing and give us a Tyreek Hill to make everybody forget how you suck at drafting. And you'll make everybody forget that you didn't know who to sign at the right time and who you overpaid, because you'll always make it go away. It's the same thing that happened. And then his whole persona was F them picks. And from my standpoint, he doesn't have any philosophy. He doesn't have anything that he believes in, because he always just caters to keep his job. He has no methods of getting out of this. What's his philosophy? The one thing I know about Chris Greer, this is the one thing I know. Truly, I don't. He's been in the market forever. What's his football philosophy? Oh, he's a collaborator. That's a bull bleep thing. Every person who runs a football team has to have some philosophy. All right? The Eagles have a philosophy. And this guy, his only thing that I know is he thinks that injuries are hocus pocus. And he thinks, he's got an injury pass. No bigs. We'll sign him. He's talented. Right. That's right. It. It's the only thing.
Right.
He's like, he doesn't believe in injuries. He said football's 100% injury risk.
I ain't going to give a guy $20 million that's been hurt. How about that? You know what? If Chris Greer would have said, I really liked him, was worried about his injury pass, we would all appreciate that, because we know what this team has been through, right? I don't care how good the guy ends up being. But here's the problem. The problem is his drafts haven't been terrible, okay? They haven't had the luck of having three or four low-round draft picks be starters like a lot of the championship teams have. But he's drafted a lot of guys that are playing good football in NFL, just not for the Dolphins, because you couldn't afford them. That I've never, of all my years being in football, being around football, the one thing that every GM has done, make sure you understand how good he can draft by keeping his draft guys.
We'll take a break. We'll hear more from him later on. Back after this.
WQAM, broadcasting live from the Ed Moore Sawgrass Auto Mall Studios. Shop massive. Hour Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Welcome back, everybody. It is time for the Mix Bag. Get to a bevy of topics here, starting with, this has gotten a lot of buzz over the social media landscape. Leroy, are you familiar with Rich Paul?
Yes.
He is LeBron James's agent. He is the head of Clutch Sports. He is the fiance of Adele.
That man's batting 1,000 right now, man.
He's winning, right?
Number one singer, engaged to the number one singer, represents the number one athlete on the planet. Which can have you have a warped perception of things. Because Rich Paul yesterday stirred it up a little bit, because he is against big threes. He doesn't think they work. And in doing so, said something that got Heat fans pissed off, because he basically minimized Chris Bosh as being part of the big three. Threw some compliments in there. I'll just let you hear the comments, because I listened to his take and then I'm like, I feel like you argued against your take. Here's Rich Paul on the Rat McAfee Show.
I always love a big two. I don't really love a big three. I don't really, people talk big three, but the big three thing has never really worked. And you say, well, what happened in Miami? That wasn't really a big three. There was three guys that went in the lottery and they did really well individually on their team, so they put up big numbers and had big accomplishments. But when you think about it, Bosh was the ultimate professional. He took a back seat and he played a role in which, because he had such a high IQ and he was such a professional as an individual, his approach to everything is what made that work. when you look in Boston, okay, you can say Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce was a big three. Again, Rondo. Thinking about names, but the way that offense was ran, Rondo's capability during that time, it was a lot different. When you've seen people go for that, it never really worked. And I've had this conversation with several different, you know, owners of teams, and having this.
So there you go. Rich Paul on the Pat McAfee Show, who appeared to box himself in by the end of that. Because
dumb.
I'm like, hey, man, what are you talking about there? Is that 6-7 finals amongst those two teams that you
minus
mentioned?
One
of not work. But it wasn't a true big three. Like
I would have said it a little bit differently. And I would have said it from this standpoint. It was a big three, but one guy had to sacrifice more than the other two.
That is all.
Yep.
And that's all. What he was saying by Chris Bosh being a professional. But you best believe if he would have switched with one of the other two, he could have averaged 25-26. So you got to put it in its proper context. Is that, and he kind of said it, the role that Chris Bosh was asked to play, he sacrificed the most.
And that's how you have
but
a big
it
three.
Didn't make him less of a Hall of Famer or All-Star.
There's a couple of things. Like, look, I don't think a big three necessarily works in today's NBA. It's different from when LeBron, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade got together. That's why they changed the rules of the salary cap, because everybody was so pissed that it happened. And then when everybody else started trying to make it happen in other leagues, the most notable was when Kevin Durant went to Golden State because of the cap boom. They started making all these rules where, like, literally, as you see in Phoenix, if you would put the three guys with that kind of salary together, you can't make any other moves, like, literally.
Right.
But, dude, I get you. You're throwing on some compliments there. But to just diminish Chris Bosh, Rich, you're there. Dude, do you not remember Dexter Pittman when Chris Bosh got hurt? Do you not remember it? Because I remember it. I'm still horrified by it.
Again.
I still remember Game 3 Eastern Conference semifinals, and I remember Chris Bosh coming back, Leroy, and I remember the threes in Game 7, and I remember what a godsend it was. And to just be like,
I want to say this. I don't think he was dismissing Chris Bosh. He was basically saying what I said
he said it. He was all messed up. It was all marble mouth. What he should have, because it's ridiculous. Because right now,
he should have said no. They had a big three, but one guy is going.
Guess what?
His
current client right now has a big three. What is he talking about?
Who?
LeBron.
LeBron, Luka, Reeves.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Reeves was drafted.
It doesn't matter. You have a big three.
No, you. But. He's
Paul Pierce was drafted by Boston. They brought in KT and Ray Allen. It's
or what the Heat did.
I think this is the thing. It's kind of like with Chris Greer. Like, you get out on a take and you're like, oh yeah, we got leadership, and then you have nothing to back it up. Like, you come out there with this take of, oh, I don't really like big threes. I like big twos. It's like
big threes.
But your example are two of the best big three teams of all time.
And Golden State was a big three.
What kind of a take is that? Like, it's asinine. I can agree with him that, hey, maybe in today's day and age that doesn't work because the math has changed on salary cap. But just to be like, I don't like big threes, and Chris Bosh wasn't really part of the big three. Actually, he was. You know, LeBron's ass kind of saved by Chris Bosh.
It's amazing that he witness all of this.
And he said that.
And says that. I remember when the big three was going on. One of the first things they said as the first year played out was Chris Bosh was sacrificing the most.
And that's the key word.
By the role he was playing. And that being said, it didn't diminish his skill set.
And by the way,
it didn't diminish
it his, added to his skill set. Chris Bosh was not the defender that he was in Toronto, that he was in Miami.
Nor the three-point shooter.
And not the three-point shooter.
Right.
He redefined, redefined a role. Like, he became stretch five.
Right. So but I would say this. You can't do what Chris Bosh did and be a scrub.
Of course
you
not.
You can't do what Chris Bosh did and how he changed his game, right, to accommodate the Heat. You can't do that and not be a special player and still be able to perform.
Dude, like
he wasn't like he. This wasn't a situation like what Jimmy said. Oh, my role is to stand in the corner.
24 and like the other thing, that's the beauty of having those three guys. Like 24 points a game against the Chicago Bulls, 2011 Eastern Conference Finals.
Right.
Like average more than LeBron did, by the way, in the 2011 Finals.
And keep in mind, Bosh is a Hall of Famer.
A legend, dude.
When you say something like that,
yeah, it's nasty work.
Don't disrespect.
I don't even think LeBron would like that. And I know he got caught up with it. I think he got too cute on his take. But like he'd be like, hey, what are you doing?
He's right. Leroy's right. He wanted to – what he should have said, which would have been a better explanation, big three doesn't work unless one of the three is willing to sacrifice.
Correct. And that is the problem in today's
That's what it is that none of them was willing to sacrifice because they all getting paid. That's the problem with Phoenix. No, Bradley Beal was the one who should have sacrificed. He wasn't willing to. That's also, the key in the big three.
Yeah, but also, look, Bradley Beal's not Chris Bosh.
Right.
Right, but that's what I'm saying.
Wait, Bron played with two other Hall of Famers, and Kyrie and
Kevin Love sacrificed.
Right.
And they won a title. Klay Thompson sacrificed when KD went there. They won a title. One of your big three is going to have to sacrifice, and they're willing to do it.
Right. He's going to have a different role than he was accustomed to having when he was the star.
Also,
one of the stars.
And also, one thing that you should appreciate and not be looked upon as diminishing it, Kyrie got so sick of sacrificing that he left your ass in the midst of Cleveland.
And he regretted it because it wasn't the same every time.
Maybe he did, but you want to know something? In the moment, he didn't regret it, and he couldn't wait to get out of there.
Somebody said it. We all know Melo ain't passing that rebound.
Oh, that was another one. Yeah, Stephen A. said that the Heat would have three-peated if they had Melo.
No,
Stephen
no,
A's only doing that. He's only doing that because
he loves Melo.
No, but he does love Melo. But it's weird because he knows Melo and Wade are Bron's friends. So being nice and always showing love to your ops friends is kind of like a dig.
He's trying to do a backhand.
Right.
Right.
Right. That's what it was.
I would say this. But, no, they wouldn't. They wouldn't have. Here's why it wouldn't have necessarily happened with Melo. Because Chris Bosh could play without the ball.
You could have won 2011 with Melo.
Dude, I'm telling... No, you want to know what we could have won 2011 with Vlad?
I know, Bron playing better. I know.
With LeBron James playing like LeBron James, dude!
It happens, man.
And by the way, he averaged less than Chris Bosh in that series. You want to know what? When the hell is the last time LeBron James averaged 17 points in a six-game series? In any series.
All right.
Has that ever happened in the history of his life?
14 years ago. It relax.
But do you understand how nonsense it, like we don't
Yes,
guys,
we do.
But this is the thing that's crazy. He's maybe the greatest basketball player of all time. I think in my two eyes, he's probably the best basketball player we've all seen, right? Why do we continue to need to push people down to lift him up more?
But nobody was pushing it.
Yes, yes. Why you want to know why?
See, you took this to a whole different level.
Oh, he's got to.
It's his agent.
It's his agent,
though. That's why his agent's doing that. No, his agent's making it seem like it wasn't really a big
deal. It was badly worded. That's all it was. Badly worded. That's all it was.
I told you what he should have said.
But he didn't.
No, because the key word was sacrifice, and he didn't say it.
Because when he started talking about how professional Chris Bosh was, he basically was talking about his professionalism and the fact that he had to sacrifice from being the guy to being someone else on a team with two other superstars.
If that was debate class and we were sitting there and the professor would have been like, all right, Mr. Tobin, your time. Yeah, professor, he just said why he doesn't like big threes and just explained why big threes are awesome because that's, by my count, three championships and six finals amongst those two teams he mentioned. Time.
Again, I'm not. Why does everybody think I'm defending LeBron?
It's not about defending LeBron.
I was actually defending Chris Bosh, because a lot of people look at his numbers in Canada, in Toronto, and then when he comes down here, look at his numbers down here, and not fully understand that of all the big three, he had to sacrifice and adjust his game more than anybody else.
But one of the things
you knew that, and you would appreciate that to know what kind of player Chris Bosh was, because guess what? Everybody can't do that. And that was the uniqueness of Chris Bosh.
But here's the thing that drives me nuts when Chris Bosh gets like any part of, oh, you went down and you sacrificed something, or something went the wrong way, or Melo would have gotten you a three-peat. It never, ever is mentioned that if LeBron would have just played like LeBron in the 2011 finals, you would have had your three-peat. And the thing that's crazy about it is people want to make these excuses about, oh, the fit wasn't great or it wasn't perfect. Okay, Leroy, I'll hear you out on that. But riddle me this, Batman. Why is it that the Heat went through the East that year when Derrick Rose was healthy and the Bulls won the most games that they had in that entire four-year run? They gentlemen swept them. They went through Boston, who took them to 7 the next year. They went through them in 5. So you could argue the East opponents that they faced were the best that they ever faced them, and LeBron, Wade, and Bosh went through them like Swiss cheese. And then we go to this formulaic, oh, the fit wasn't right against the Mavericks. It's not true. He choked. End of story. I don't want to hear anything else. I don't want to hear about matchups. I don't want to hear about sacrifice. Your guy choked in that spot. That's it. And you know what? It's fine. He made up for it. He won his championships. But just say what it is and stop putting this rose-colored gloss over it.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
And I don't know if this is a sports thing or a you thing. Why do you expect every professional athlete to be perfect all the time?
Not perfect. Just not 17 points when you're the greatest basketball player on earth. JJ Barea.
There you go.
Leroy, JJ Barea.
Okay, that's fine. Like, I'm sorry, Mr. Perfect. You've never made any mistakes. You've never done the wrong thing. You probably could have did something a little differently in your life. Your life is perfect.
Thank you.
I'm not saying he was great. I'm not saying he should have handled JJ Barea. I'm saying that we've all had people. Michael Jordan never disappointed. Michael Jordan didn't win a championship until his 6th year or 7th year. And y'all don't remember all the trash that everybody was talking before Jordan won.
But it's the same thing. But I had the problem with Jordan in the Last Dance, where Jordan's like diminishing Pippen. What are you doing? Again, what? You're Michael Jordan. You're LeBron James, or you're LeBron James representation.
Right.
Why do you guys feel the need to uplift? You guys need more uplift. I got to take a break. You got to do more uplifting. I apologize for obliterating the clock. We'll be back after this.